On the riverfront, some of the houses was sticking out over the bank, and they was bowed and bent and about ready to tumble in. The people had moved out of them. The bank was caved away under one corner of some others, and that corner was hanging over. People lived in them yet, but it was dangersome, because sometimes a strip of land as wide as a house caves in at a time. Sometimes a belt of land a quarter of a mile deep will start in and cave along till it all caves into the river one summer. Such a town as that has to be always moving back and back and back, because the river's always gnawing at it. The nearer it got to noon that day, the thicker and thicker was the wagons and horses in the streets, and more coming all the time. Families fetched their dinners with them from the country and ate them in the wagons. There was considerable whiskey drinking going on, and I seen three fights. By and by, somebody sings out, "Here comes old Boggs, in from the country for his little old monthly drunk. Here he comes, boys." All the loafers looked glad. I reckon they was used to having fun out of Boggs. One of them says, "Wonder who he's a-gwine to chaw up this time. If he'd have chawed up all the men he's been a-gwine to chaw up in the last 20 years, he'd have a considerable reputation now." Another one says, "I wished old Boggs had threatened me, 'cause then I'd know I weren't a-gwine to die for 1,000 years. Boggs comes a-tearing along on his horse, whooping and yelling like an Injun, and singing out, "Clear the track thar! I'm on the warpath, and the price of coffins is a-gwine to raise." He was drunk and weaving about in his saddle. He was over 50 years old and had a very red face. Everybody yelled at him and laughed at him and sassed him, and he sassed back and said he'd attend to them and lay them out in their regular turns, but he couldn't wait now because he'd come to town to kill old Colonel Shelburne, and his motto was meat first and spoon victuals to top off on. He see me and rode up and says, "Whar'd you come from, boy? You prepared to die?" Then he rode on. I was scared, but a man says, "He don't mean nothing. He's always a-carrying on like that when he's drunk. He's the best-naturedest old fool in Arkansas. Never hurt nobody, drunk nor sober." Boggs rode up before the biggest store in town and bent his head down so he could see under the curtain of the awning and yells, "Come out of here, Shelburne. Come out and meet the man you've swindled. You're the hound I'm after, and I'm a-gwine to have you, too." And so he went on, calling Shelburne everything he could lay his tongue to, and the whole street packed with people listening and laughing and going on. By and by, a proud-looking man about 55, and he was a heap the best-dressed man in that town, too, steps out of the store, and the crowd drops back on each side to let him come. He says to Boggs, mighty calm and slow, he says, "I'm tired of this, but I'll endure till 1 o'clock. Till 1 o'clock, mind, no longer. If you open your mouth against me only once after that time, you can't travel so far, but I will find you." Then he turns and goes in. The crowd looked mighty sober. Nobody stirred, and there weren't no more laughing. Boggs rode off blackguard and Shelburne as loud as he could yell all down the street. And pretty soon back he comes and stops before the store, still keeping it up. Some men crowded around him and tried to get him to shut up, but he wouldn't. They told him it would be 1 o'clock in about 15 minutes, and so he must go home. He must go right away. But it didn't do no good. He cussed away with all his might and throwed his hat down in the mud and rode over it, and pretty soon he went a-raging down the street again with his gray hair a-flying. Everybody that could get a chance at him tried their best to coax him off his horse so they could lock him up and get him sober. But it warn't no use. Up the street he would tear again and give Shelburne another cussing. By and by somebody says, "Go for his daughter. Quick, go for his daughter. Sometimes he'll listen to her. If anybody can persuade him, she can." So somebody started on a run. I walked down street a ways and stopped. In about 5 or 10 minutes, here comes Boggs again, but not on his horse. He was a-reeling across the street towards me, bareheaded, with a friend on both sides of him a-holt of his arms and hurrying him along. He was quiet and looked uneasy, and he weren't handing back any, but was doing some of the hurrying himself. Somebody sings out, "Boggs!" I looked over there to see who said it, and it was that Colonel Shelburne. He was standing perfectly still in the street, and had a pistol raised in his right hand, not aiming it, but holding it out with the barrel tilted up towards the sky. The same second I see a young girl coming on the run, and two men with her. Boggs and the men turned round to see who called him, and when they see the pistol, the men jumped to one side. And the pistol barrel come down slow and steady to a level, both barrels cocked. Boggs throws up both of his hands and says, "Oh, Lord, don't shoot!" Bang goes the first shot, and he staggers back clawing at the air. Bang goes the second one, and he tumbles backwards onto the ground, heavy and solid, with his arms spread out. That young girl screamed out and comes rushing, and down she throws herself on her father, crying and saying, "Oh, he's killed him, he's killed him!" The crowd closed up around them and shouldered and jammed one another with their necks stretched trying to see, and people on the inside trying to shove them back and shouting, "Back, back, give him air, give him air!" Colonel Sherburne, he tossed his pistol onto the ground and turned around on his heels and walked off. They took Boggs to a little drug store, the crowd pressing around just the same and the whole town following, and I rushed and got a good place at the window where I was close to him and could see in. They laid him on the floor and put one large Bible under his head and opened another one and spread it on his breast. But they tore open his shirt first, and I seen where one of the bullets went in. He made about a dozen long gasps, his breast lifting the Bible up when he drawed in his breath, and letting it down again when he breathed it out. And after that he laid still. He was dead. Then they pulled his daughter away from him, screaming and crying, and took her off. She was about 16 and very sweet and gentle-looking, but awful pale and scared. Well, pretty soon the whole town was there, squirming and scrouging and pushing and shoving to get at the window and have a look. But people that had the places wouldn't give them up, and folks behind them were saying all the time, "Say now, you've looked enough, you fellas. 'Tain't right and 'tain't fair for you to stay there all the time and never give nobody a chance. Other folks has their rights as well as you." There was considerable jawing back, so I slid out, thinking maybe there was going to be trouble. The streets was full, and everybody was excited. Everybody that seen the shooting was telling how it happened, and there was a big crowd packed around each one of these fellas, stretching their necks and listening. One long, lanky man with long hair and a big white fur stovepipe hat on the back of his head and a crooked-handled cane marked out the places on the ground where Boggs stood and where Sherburne stood, and the people following him around from one place to t'other and watching everything he'd done and bobbing their heads to show they understood and stooping a little and resting their hands on their thighs to watch him mark the places on the ground with his cane. And then he stood up straight and stiff where Sherburne had stood, frowning and having his hat brim down over his eyes, and sung out, "Boggs!" And then fetched his cane down slow to a level and says, "Bang!" Staggered backwards, says, "Bang!" again, and fell down flat on his back. The people that had seen the thing said he'd done it perfect, said it was just exactly the way it all happened. Then as much as a dozen people got out their bottles and treated him. Well, by and by, somebody said Sherburne ought to be lynched. In about a minute, everybody was saying it. So away they went, mad and yelling and snatching down every clothesline they come to do the hanging with.